Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. Front row.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Rub
for McDonald's.
I'm loving it.
Triple M rocks for you.
Sunday afternoon on the M's. You know there's good times coming your way. An early edition of the Sunday Rub as we lead up to 10 past 1. Brisbane taking on the Essendon Football Club. The Lions 1 and 10. Essendon 4 and 7. Both desperate for a win. Always nice to speak to Mark Harvey, Essendon assistant coach, and a very good friend of Kevin Sheedy. So we'll get his thoughts on Sheed being inducted. Mitch Robinson, unfortunately, won't be playing today. He's got a toe issue. So we will speak to the Brisbane Lions midfielder. The team is assembled as we lead up. Wayne Schwash is here. Hello, Schwatter.
Hello, Howie.
The Duck is here. Hello, Ducky boy.
Howie, gentlemen.
Jay-Z is here. Nice
yes.
to see him.
Hello, Howie.
And the next man, he always compliment on his magnificent hair and the way he always looks. Just looks like he probably was out at 5 a.m. last night. Paul Ruse looks dishevelled. He's got the 5 o'clock shadow, Ruse. You don't look your usual sharp self.
No, I've been up at Broadbeach on a little bit of a break.
So, Broadbeach?
Yeah, just Tyler's team, Southport. Big win yesterday too over
what
the
club?
7-1 Sydney Uni and
right.
defeated them by 100. They kicked one goal, the other team.
Really?
They beat them by 100 plus points, Southport, to skip to 6-3.
Don't worry,
three,
mate,
sort of?
Let's ignore that.
Yeah.
You club it, and if
you
so,
look,
you
no,
look
no,
like
no, no, no,
just an early morning getting on the flight, early morning.
Trying to look like Bucks, just going the beard.
Going a bit of the beard, yeah. It gets a bit grey, doesn't it?
So you've got the look of a man that rolled out of a Gold Coast nightclub at about 6 a.m. straight to your flight.
Now, you know, the thing is, we believe Ruzy. If I came in and looked like that, I'd be in trouble.
It'd be a whole nother story. Hey, only very short preview today, so we've got to get stuck right into it. We are up, and looking forward to the game. I was watching the footy last night with a couple of St Kilda friends. Quarter time versus the Swans, 55-7. Jay-Z, you always organise what's making news at the top of the show. I presume it's St Kilda.
Yeah, they're a big story, Howie, because the St Kilda Footy Club is on its knees, really, at the moment. And last night was a big game for the whole football club. It was the Pride match. It's a big celebration for the footy club. And they come out and probably played the worst first quarter, certainly that I've seen, of the year. 1-9, absolutely demolished by the Swans. And now it's become a really big picture issue for this football club, because from what we understand, A, there's going to be serious coaching change at the end of the year, whether that involves just the assistants or potentially the senior coach. We'll get to that in a second. And also from the playing ranks. So I think there's going to be a big broom swept through this list, which has failed to live up to potential this year. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Alan Richardson said at the start of the year on record that anything was possible for this club. Now, it's at its lowest ebb since 1955. One win from the first 12 rounds, Duck. And it's been a really disappointing year.
Would I be right in saying almost 12 months to the day they had their best quarter ever against Richmond?
Yep.
I reckon it's almost 12 months, and then you're saying now worst quarter for quite some time. Yeah, look, they've been probably the disappointment of the year when you think about where we thought they might be, and we thought they'd be knocking on the door. Anywhere from 6th to 14th, we didn't think 14th or 15th, though, did we?
Yep.
So, no, they've got a lot of work to do. And look, the easy solution, Ruzi, and you know, the easy solution is to look at the coach. And you know, and we've seen, and history tells us that's not always the right way. And but they've got a lot of work to do in terms of who they get to. They've got to almost go back to what Melbourne did 4 years ago now, Ruzi.
Yep. Look, I think the thing for St Kilda is just, they're building a really good brand. I guess if you look back over Richo's previous 4 years, I think this is 50 of Jay-Z, they were really starting to build a brand. And we talk about a lot on today's show. We talk about Collingwood, Duck, you and I have spoken about that. The Giants, a bit of recent times, have rediscovered it. So they were building a really nice brand of football. If I'm a St Kilda supporter, I'm not seeing that now. That's the biggest thing. So forget the big picture. I think before we can address that, because that can only be addressed at the end of the year. You can't change your list during the year. They need internally to work out, where is our brand gone?
The pressure.
Where they were hard to play against. You know, they were a very good team.
And speed of ball movement
based on contest work, based on around the stoppages, based on going forward really quickly. And you touched on their great half or great quarter against the Tigers, I think you were referring to.
The first half was unbelievable.
But if I'm Richo, that's what I'm trying to talk to my players about. Guys, we were having, it's not to say I think they were still in that middle bracket, you know, in terms of where they're going to go, but we're not seeing it at all. And that would be the really disappointing thing for the St Kilda fans for this year, and hey, particularly in the first quarter.
Hey, Ruzzi, there'd be a lot of St Kilda fans that would be wanting answers right now, and sometimes in the situation they're in, it's hard to find those answers. But hypothetically speaking, with what you went through with the Demons, if you were asked to go in there, where would you be starting? What type of things would you be wanting to understand in order to explain the position they're in? But then more importantly, what's the way out of the situation we find our club in?
I think that when you're outside a club squad, it's hard. But in answer to your question, the first thing that I would look at, what are the standards? What are the standards around selection? What are the standards around training? That's where you have to start. So I would, if I was in there, I without being a smarty aleck, I could probably tell you within 2 weeks what has been valued in the footy department, what is being rewarded in the football department, and what a player is being critiqued on. And I think that that's always the starting point. Then you've got to, depending on how many players are doing it, then you just build your team around it. Players that aren't doing it go out. Players that are doing it come in. I think it's all around the standards of their footy club. So when you're outside, it's hard to know what Richo's showing on a regular basis. But clearly, whatever he's showing is not working. Then you've got to work out, right, we've just got to start rewarding players that want to do it over and over and over and over again. And then you get to a brand like Sydney, who've done it now for 15 years because their leaders do it. The young blokes come in and get told, if you don't do it, you're not going to play. So the young blokes, Hayward's got to decide, does he want to play? Yeah, I do want to play. Ronke's got to decide whether I want to play. Yeah, I do want to play. It's a relatively simple formula when you get it right, you know, when you actually get to that point.
I'm having a little giggle over here. I've got Charlotte on the strike star system myself at home, gentlemen.
This is your daughter. How old is she now?
3.5. And if she does something not so good, she gets a strike. And if she does something really good, swatter, she gets a star.
Duck.
She loves the stars, Ruzzi. So you love getting a little pat on the back when you just get a little tick.
Is she old enough to start applying the same system to you, Duck?
Or not? That has come up with other people. When they've walked in and seen the chart, they've gone, where's your chart?
Oh, very good. Now, Alan Richardson, going back to the Saints, very blunt about the performance last night.
Beaten comprehensively everywhere by an outstanding footy team. We just weren't in the fight, we weren't in the game. Whenever they went forward, they scored, they looked cleaner, they were certainly tougher. They were a ruthless footy team, and we were far from that. Just when the game was up for grabs, smashed. I think we lost the second half by 10 points, but it was done and dusted really by then.
They've had all the crisis talks earlier in the year as the losses continue to mount. And I just wonder whether the coach, Alan Richardson, is a bit lost for answers at the moment. The chief executive of the football club, Matt Finnis, he spoke at halftime on the Triple M Rub, of course, about the big picture. How good is this St Kilda list?
I think we've got the nucleus of a playing list that is worth building around. This is not a situation where you need to go back and start again. We think we've got a nucleus there which we can build around, but we've clearly, you know, got to get more out of the players who we need to grow, and we need to attract some more talented players. At the end of the day, you know, that's not necessarily about getting, you know, the best players, but it's getting players to be better than they are right now. I think the talk of the year was that the start of the year that, you know, you look at maybe a Jack Stephen and Jake Carlisle, you know, Seb Ross, Dylan Robert, and are all probably, you know, in the conversation. You know, then there was some other players who we'd hope to take that next step, Brownie, to become, you know, that B grade. And if you can have, you know, 12 or 14 A and B grade players in your list, then you should be competitive. But short of that, there's been a lot of other players who haven't played to the level that we would have expected.
Ruzzi, Alan Richardson is contracted until 2020. They extended him last year. Was that a necessary move, do you think?
Well, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't in this industry. Because if you don't contract them, there's all the discussion around, is he going to get contracted? We've seen it with Nathan Buckley. And if you do, and you have a bad patch a la, you know, Richo, then people say, why did you do it? Mm. I think he warranted a new contract. At the end of last year, he was trending in the right direction. Yep. Duck, the team, as I said, was playing really, really good football. So we just got to be careful that the people internally I talk about, not us, because we don't have any idea really what happens inside a footy club. But I think you just got to be careful. This is when boards need to be strong. This is when CEOs need to have a really good understanding.
Yep. Well, they'll be tested.
Managers. Yep. Oh, they're all, you're always tested when you won one game.
Yeah, let's not forget, he got rewarded for a 3 or 4 year period where they were on the up.
Yep.
Bang, 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 stepping up. They've had one bad year, and I've said this, I don't know how many times now, so I'll say it again. You don't re-sign a coach off one good year. He had three yep. good years. Mm-hmm. They re-signed him. You don't sack a coach off one bad year either. Now, they've had a bad year. Have they got the ability to you know, finish off and have a better second half of the year? Yes, they have. And clearly, another pre-season, get some more talent into the footy club, and they can rebound, just like other clubs have shown. So, definitely, they should definitely not get rid of Richo off one bad year.
But that's where the board needs to be strong.
Yes,
that's
irrespective
right. of what that's other people outside of the club are saying and wanting, the board has to be strong. If the board still believes Richo's the man,
yep.
then make the changes around Richo and give him the best opportunity to be a good coach.
And that's the Richmond model. So that's Howie, where this football club could be headed at the end of the year if they, as Ducks, says keep Richo, then I think we're going to see significant change around him in the assistant coaching ranks.
I think we saw the strength of the Collingwood Footy Club halfway through last year when Nathan Buckley was getting absolutely pounded left, right and centre. People were calling for his job and they stuck by him. 6 months later, Collingwood was going
really
well.
You only have to go back to the end of round two going into round three. We called the Carlton-Collingwood game and people were already lining up out in the back of the media room. If he loses today, that's it. They're writing his tombstone.
Well, I think Richmond's the best example for me. You've got the, I can't remember who they were, Jay-Z, the guys that turned up at the Richmond gym, the board coup.
Egon Zender. Focus on Footy.
Yeah, the board coup. That's as strong a board and CEO. Brendan Gale, Peggy O'Neill. That's what you need, Swatter. Yep. So as much as anything, there's a lot of focus on the coach. Yep.
And that's what a coach needs too at those
really challenging
times. I was just going to
say, there's a lot of focus on the coach. My experience is, you know, Glenn Bartlett, great chairman. Peter Jackson, great CEO. Josh Marnie, great football manager. And then you assemble everyone around him. So my question probably, and again, I haven't followed St Kilda closely enough, what does the board look like? What is it Peter Summers?
I don't know.
I'm not casting dispersions. Matt Finnis, you know, Simon. You need all these things aligning within your footy club. So when these things do happen, Swatter, well, no, we've got a good coach. We know that. Yep. We've got a good board. I'm going to back myself. So if I'm a St Kilda supporter today, I'm not questioning the coach necessarily. What I'm saying is, why is my football club being poor for such a long period of time? I mean, Ross Lyon probably should have got signed. So who didn't sign Ross? When they play in the grand final?
11. Yep.
What was 11? It?
2-10. 2-9, 2-10.
2-9, 2-10.
Yep.
So since then, it's been a bit of a struggle, hasn't it? So again,
board needs to take responsibility, Roosie.
Well, what I'm saying is I don't know this Jay-Z, but what I'm saying, my experience in a footy club,
yep.
again, getting to Sydney, Richard Collis, Andrew Ireland, yeah, Miles Baron Hay while he was CEO there.
Yep.
Great people in all levels of your organisation, and if you have that, and I'm not suggesting St Kilda don't, because yeah. I don't know enough about them.
But have a look at it.
But if I have a look at it, that's where you should be looking at.
And to use Richmond, as that example, I mean, Richmond were building the 3 years prior,
yep.
played finals, never won a final, then one bad year. So one bad year, everyone's saying sack him, they keep him, they go and get Nan Curvis, they get Prestia, they get Caddy, and they get growth from underneath.
Neil Barm also.
Bang, straight back up. Little... So it is possible to do if you get the right people and some good talent in over the summer.
Now, this is a credit to my maths teacher in year 12. We've got 16 teams in the top eight. How many make the eight?
Eight.
There's only eight teams are going to make the eight this year. There's only eight teams are going to make the eight next year. How many teams are going to win a premiership?
One.
And in a 16-team competition, does a team have to finish on the bottom?
Yes.
Yes. So it doesn't matter. With Alistair Clarkson was coaching every single team in the competition, only eight are going to make the eight. One's going to finish on the bottom, and eight are going to miss out, and one's going to win a premiership.
That is quite stunning mathematics.
I can't remember a maths teacher, but he did a good job.
Yeah, I'm not sure that was your real sort of Einstein type stuff. It is very nice to welcome a man that has done all sorts in football. He's got a long history. He was a manager. He went to the Tigers. Now he's at Essendon. Dan Richardson is on the line. G'day, Richo.
Hello, Howie. How are you?
Great to speak to you. Firstly, set the scene for us. It's a massive game, this one. You boys, 4-7. Really important game for the Essendon Footy Club.
Oh, yeah, every game's important, Howie, for sure. But it's nice to be up here in sunny Brisbane. Nice and warm, actually, but the ground looks in terrific condition and hopefully a reasonable crowd starting to roll in.
Richo, are you tuned in for the game? You've got the sound of a man that's in your board shorts with your thongs on, just sort of soaking up some rays. Are you prepared for this?
I didn't bring the surfboard up, Howie, but I know you probably would have. No, I'm not even sure if there's any swell about, is there? But
No, the boys have switched on for the game. It is a big game. They all are. But, yeah, I think Brisbane have been in really good form. And I'm sure that, you know, it'll be a really, really strong test for both sides today. But, yeah, hopefully our guys can sort of play the way, I guess, we've looked at playing in the last month or so. Maybe a bit of a hiccup last week. But certainly, you know, we feel as though the last month, particularly with that pressure aspect and defensive aspect of our game, has been really strong. So hopefully we can bring that today.
G'day, Richo. It's Jay Clark here. Hey, congratulations on the whole turnaround. I mean, that win against Geelong, sort of, what was it, 3 or 4 weeks ago now, really set the scene, and your pressure's gone up immeasurably. So congratulations on all that. But I must admit, mate, selection this week was fascinating for me, because talking to my Essendon friends, I mean, I want to see Jaden Laverty play. I mean, he's been in the system for a couple of years. He's had battles with his with injuries, of course. And then just as he sort of starts to get in the team and get some continuity, he's being dropped. Why would he be out of the team?
Well, he's played the last 6 games, so you've had a fair opportunity to see him play in those 6 weeks, I would have thought, Jay. The important thing with selection is you have to honour form, and, you know, it's important to honour form and in the VFL. And, you know, a couple of guys, Mason Redmond and Josh Green, have shown really strong form over a period of time. You know, Josh Arthur coming back from his injury. So, yeah, I think the reality is there is still some areas of Jaden's game that he'll need to work on, and, you know, he'll still be doing that at VFL level in due course. Obviously not this week, but yeah, that's really the crux of it. You know, form, I think the integrity of selection needs to be a balance between, you know, younger players coming in and getting an opportunity, but also good form.
Hey, Richo, in all seriousness, I know we had a bit of a joke about it a minute ago, but when you go up to Brisbane, it is a difficult thing for young players. You've got some experienced players in your team, but young players, they go up there, the sun is out. You do get a little bit of downtime. You know, some players will sit in their room, you know, playing their Xbox or whatever. And
Fortnite.
But other players will go down. But it is an important conversation that you have to have in and around the weather and what players do in between the time they get up there and then the time they play. Have you been involved in any of those conversations? Do you need to have those conversations anymore?
You do. I mean, every interstate trip certainly present, I guess, a slightly different set of challenges, don't they? So, but, you know, that's all part of the learning and adapting to that. I mean, yeah, we had that in Sydney a couple of weeks ago and seemed to handle that pretty well. So don't see it necessarily being any great difference. I think the good thing today is a little bit less time waiting around hotels and whatnot with the 1 o'clock start as opposed to a night game. So so you have the conversations, but that said, I think it's also up to the individuals to ensure that they, you know, as you know, duck prepare themselves as best they can to and suit those individual needs.
Speaking to Dan Richardson, the GM of footy at the Essendon Football Club, here's the super coach, Paul Roos.
Richo, you had 2 really good weeks and then ran into the Tigers, obviously reigning premiers. So was there sort of one thing you looked at and said, gee, we're not that far away from the premiers? And obviously another one thing where you thought, gee, we've got a fair way to go to catch up to these boys in order to win a flag?
Yeah, Paul, it's a good point. I guess to some extent the scoreboard didn't tell the whole picture. If you looked at that, what was it, 60-70 point loss, can, you know, on the face of it look pretty damning. But in terms of sort of work around the footy and, you know, number of forward entries were fairly even. So we think we matched Richmond reasonably well through the midfield, but clearly last week the main area we fell down was our forward structure, and probably allowed Richmond too much time to get what they want defensively. And as a result of that, they were able to score a bit too freely on transition. So, yeah, that was probably the main focus of the review last week, was about how we can ensure that we maintain our structures a bit more under the heat of obviously one of the best sides going around at the minute. We know that, but that was the main area of focus for the review.
Hey, Richard Swatter here. There was Mark Neal moves on from the club. There was quite a bit said with regards to the way that the communication was being handled pre and post. Has that changed significantly in the last couple of weeks? As Roosie said, a couple of good wins, disappointing performance last week. But has the structure and the way that things are being done during the coach's box during a game changed, or has it stayed relatively the same?
Well, naturally, when a key person like that moves on, Schwatter, you could probably expect just, you know, a slight shift in the dynamic.
but that said, I wouldn't say drastically, but certainly what we want to continue to grow and continue to encourage in our coaching group is really strong collaboration and alignment between all the coaches, particularly to Woosh's key messages. And, we think there's always work to do in that regard. We'll continue to work on it, but we've seen some good, we've seen some positive signs in that regard over the last few weeks for sure.
Hey, Richo, Sean McKernan, he's been a revelation in the last sort of 3 weeks since he's come back into the side. He's a guy that's been in and out and in and out and always seems to have his head on the chopping block, starting to put a few games together.
Yeah, it's great to see, isn't it, Duck? And he's a good size. He's a good athlete. He marks the ball well. I guess to some extent, with an opportunity, beckons with Joey being injured. But Sean certainly still deserved his opportunity from what I saw. He had a terrific pre-season. He was really fit and really well prepared. And certainly I agree with it. He's putting his best foot forward at the moment, but, he's able to get a bit of continuity as well, which is terrific for him and importantly, terrific for the team.
Richo, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Bombers in about an hour's time up in Brizzy.
No problem, boys. Have a good
Dan Richardson, the GM of footy at the Essendon Footy
Club. Good man,
Richo.
Yeah,
he is.
Good man, good football person. Was your first manager, Howie?
He was. He was.
Until Howie got too big.
He's another Ricky Nixon protege.
Is he? Yeah. He's a good man. He set me down and explained a few things about where I sat in the world.
And where was it?
Well, there's the big fish and there's the small fish and then there's the pond scum, and then I was sort of not even in the pond at that stage.
Maybe come along.
Plankton.
I probably wasn't even plankton. I was more moss. Organism, I think. I reckon I'm up to plankton level now, though. Explain what you're just watching here.
Well, with Jeff Horn going into battle not too far away, Jay-Z's had one, I think it's a fight. He showed a couple of photos, but they looked as though they'd been photoshopped. Then he was shadowboxing Howie.
Mm-hmm. And somehow
he got hit on the chin, shadowboxing no one else but himself.
You have had one professional fight, it must be said.
To the surprise of most, I am an internationally recognised internationally licensed boxer. Howie, have had one fight in the ring in Perth in 2008. One win, one victory. Retired, got the belt, still at home, mate. Here I am.
Hey, there's a lot of footy to get through.
Be fair to say the bloke
looks 55.
10 kilos
beaten.
Yeah,
is fairly flat.
Yeah.
So He must have gone in favourite. Because look at him, head down. The bloke in the red, head down, just. And even Jay-Z is still thinking, how did I win that?
We'll get that photo up at Triple M website. Talking about the Horn-Crawford fight, thanks to Foxtel, I had the opportunity to go to Brisbane last year, Duck, on day 3 of the test match, I reckon it was, and spend some time with Jeff Horn. And we spent the entire lead up to the fight against Gary Cork, and I'll play some audio in a minute. But the fascinating thing about this man, we were right in the room, sat next to Colonel Bob Sheridan, ringside. It's the first time I've seen a professional fight up close. I didn't understand the brutality of it, Roosie. I ended up with blood on me, on all my clothes, because you're that close to the action. I didn't understand that the boxers sledge each other in the ring. You could actually hear Corcoran sledging Horn as the fight was on.
Such as?
Oh, I'm not going to repeat it because we're a family audience here. But, he was sledging him. But the most amazing thing I saw, Duck, he's so mild-mannered, Jeff Horn, when you meet him. He's a former school teacher. And 10 minutes before the fight, I thought there is no menace about this man at all. We're in the rooms. He was literally doing his warm-up a metre away from me. There's no menace to this man. He's going to get his head lifted off his shoulders, was my professional understanding of the situation. And then the ref came in and he said, 9 minutes till the fight. And it was literally, Roosie, like a switch went on this man, and the intensity went from 0 to 150 in the space of 5 seconds. And then he was just ferocious. It was ferocious. I'll play a bit of audio. We did a podcast, just Google the Howie Games and you'll find it. It's called The Moment, Jeff Horn. This is Jeff's trainer speaking to him probably eight minutes before he went out to fight. So he was about to fight Corcoran. They were that confident. You'll hear him mention Crawford, and we're going to put on a show and show Crawford what's coming. It was one of the more spine-tingling things I've ever heard in sport.
Good entries, good recovery, good exits. Just keep doing that. We'll break him down.
But yeah, we want to show the class and the skill tonight and just show you're a better boxer, tougher, and send a message out to Crawford and all the others in the division that the Hornet's coming.
It was, to see it, up close. You watch it, and we'll watch it on Foxtel's main event. We'll keep an eye on it here, Duck.
Our very own Eddie McGuire's over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he is calling it. I don't think people appreciate how brutal it is when you see it live and up close. So it's good luck to Jeff.
It's
Horn.
A tough sport to earn a living in, but when you see a world-class boxer, they're artists.
The year that I spent overseas, and I was really fortunate, went to Wimbledon, French Open, Major League Baseball, All-Star Game, Super Bowl, etc., etc. But the one thing that we could never reproduce here was Mike Tyson. I was at Mike Tyson's fight at MGM Grand, and I was scared when he walked in the ring.
Yeah.
And I was sitting about 15, 20 rows back. It was the most...
What, the atmosphere was...
The atmosphere. It's just really hard. Russell Barwick and I went together. I was doing some work for Triple M at the time, and it was unbelievable. Like, going in, it was the fight after he bit Holyfield's ear off, and as he walked in the room, and I always wondered when you paid for a Tyson fight, do you want it to last for a while, or did you get dirty? They were there to see Mike Tyson knock Francois both out.
Right.
Full stop. And at the end of the first round... I don't really remember the fight. Both have got his arm caught underneath Tyson's arm and between his body and his arm. Tyson tried to break his arm. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, jumped about 20 police officers and security guards, and the place was going absolutely nuts, and he knocked him out. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
I've seen Tyson fight as well, live, watching fight Lennox Lewis in Memphis, and then was lucky enough to meet him a couple of years later. Talk about a go into your shell, Howie, when you...
Where'd you meet Iron Mike?
In Vegas. And
just out and about?
I was, actually. I was walking through Wynn Casino and I heard someone yell out, duck, duck. So I ducked. No.
How often do you reckon he'd use that one? How often has that been recycled?
Anyway, I looked over and there's Jeff Fenwick, the great Jeff Fenwick, world champ, four-time world champion, and he's with Mike Tyson. And he said, do you want to come and hang out? And I went... Yep. So quickly went off, sat there in awe for about half an hour, and I'm thinking, and I didn't have my phone on me or anything, and I'm thinking to myself, I've got to go and get my phone because I want to get a photo. So I said, can you just excuse me? I ran up to the room, grabbed my phone, came back down, sat there for another half an hour just staring at him, and then eventually got the courage to ask him for a photo and got a photo with him. And he wanted me to hang out with him a little bit longer, him and Jeff. And Jeff was pumping me up to him as well, telling him that I was this and that. And I'm thinking, keep going, Jeff. and then he was, and you know what, he was lovely. But I just sat there in absolute awe because I grew up watching him.
Yeah.
You know, went at his absolute best. So him and Ali were my two favourite boxers of all
time. And the man that will be doing the ring announcing, let's get ready to rumble, Michael Buffer. We met him at the Horn fight and interviewed him. We weren't allowed to play in the podcast. Him saying, let's get ready to rumble.
He's trademarked it
about 20 years ago.
How did he trademark that?
They reckon up to 5 years ago he had made, reportedly, from trademarking that and what it is worth, $450 million.
So every time someone says that, they're supposed to give him a...
He gets a little clip.
Little sling.
$450 million. So keep an ear out. But we weren't allowed to use it. Otherwise, I would have gone under. Triple M would have gone under. Southern Cross Austereo would have gone under. Hey, so we'll keep an eye out on the fight. Talking about injuries, strange
one. You're saying I can't sit here and say those words.
No, you can say it, but I wasn't allowed to...
Let's get ready to rumble.
Don't quite have it, Ducky, to be honest. I wasn't allowed to reproduce his voice on the podcast. Otherwise, there was legal issues coming left. Give me another... I think you know it better. Give me another version of it. Come on, Duck.
Keep going.
All right.
That's going to get replayed.
I would have thought so. And Jay-Z, an unusual injury down at the Catter yesterday.
Yeah, and developing story here for North Melbourne captain Jack Zeeble, who became the third player this year, Howie, to cut himself on the LED lighting. So we go back a few rounds. Geelong pair, Mark Blitzarves and Zach Tui did it. I think Blitzarves ended up having 13 stitches. So in the third quarter yesterday, Jack Zeeble is a little bit innocuous, or is he sort of bumped into the LED signing, the lightage sort of on the boundary line fence, and then spent 9 minutes on the bench, fellas. Now that was a period of the game where North Melbourne were on fire. They had the ball forward, but were unable to score really, and they clearly missed Zeeble. Now North Melbourne are absolutely furious about this, fellas, because they missed the captain for a crucial period of the game, and it raises a bigger question about what in the hell is this signage doing around our AFL stadiums, the playing surface, if it is unsafe. And the AFLPA are going to take up this fight today. It's going to be a developing story over the next 48 hours because Etihad Stadium has got the same signing, the same fencing, and it does appear to be unsafe. It's like a cheese grater, Schwat. It is quite rough. We'll hear now from North Melbourne coach Brad Scott, who was quite unhappy about this fencing.
We'd get fined if we did something incompetent. The AFL won't find themselves, I'm sure. They certainly won't give us any money back.
Be flabbergasted, Roosie, if you thought this fencing was contributing to cutting players as they collided with it. It isn't an AFL field.
Oh, it's shocking. Yeah, you can see the frustration Scotty's got. He's got a player, you know, who's on the bench for 9 minutes that can have a significant impact on the game. Yeah, now, normal rotation might be two or three or something. Mm. So let's call it 6 minutes, but... Yeah, 6 minutes in a game of footy when you're dominating, as you said, so it just shouldn't happen. And it'd be interesting. I don't know, has the AFL responded at all today?
Well, they conducted a review of this about 3 or 4 weeks ago and gave it the tick off. We'll see a secondary review, even if there is, Howie, like a Perspex coating. Perhaps I think that's probably all the clubs in the AFLPA might want, a Perspex coating, just to protect that sort of cheese grater surface.
I'll tell you what I want.
Yes,
I want the health and safety of the player's workplace to be the priority, not the commercialisation of in-stadia opportunities. If this is going to be an issue, which it already has been for three players, it can't happen. So let's fix it. Fix it quickly. And the number one priority for every decision has to be the workplace of these modern-day football
players. You're both right. I think you put Perspex over. That should have happened from the start, really.
Yep.
But you put that over. It does look magnificent when it's, you know, and I know, and not all of it sponsorship swatter. Mm. Yesterday, they had like a picket fence going around, I call it Cadinia Park.
Fan engagement.
Yeah, and it does look absolutely brilliant for TV and for as a spectator, but you just want that to be a protective.
It's quite rough and rigid, you know, it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, anyone that saw Zeeble run into it, he barely touched it.
Yep.
So there must be something significantly wrong with the sign.
What is the injury specifically to Jack?
He's just got two cuts on his two knees.
Deep enough for stitches?
Yeah, no, they weren't stitches, but sort of like punctures. Like sort of more puncture wounds into his knee, so there weren't any stitches required, but the blood was just flowing out of his knees because he's obviously exercising and the blood's pumping in his body. It took the doctors a long time to sort of stem the flow of the blood. And we just can't have this on AFL field, so it's just got to change. And the AFLPA will be very strong on this tomorrow, I think you'll find.
Jay-Z, you had the pleasure of being down at the Cattery on the boundary. Talk to me about the Geelong defence. I know Gazza had a good game, but geez, Matty Scala's done a job and a half down there.
He has, because they've been missing Harry Taylor, fellas, and with the young players like Tommy Stewart, he's in All-Australian contention, Roosie and Jack Henry. I think they're the best-performed defence, conceding an average 54 points a game since round four, Roosie. Now, that with a barely recognisable defence, to be honest. You know, no Lonergan, no Mackie, no Harry Taylor. Exceptional effort.
Yeah, look, they were getting scored against easily in the first 2 or 3 weeks, and no Henderson and no Taylor, and you mentioned Mackie and Lonergan. So it's been a really good adjustment. Fantastic. They're very rarely does the ball go into the Geelong forward line now. They haven't got support in the air. Henry's been really good. I mean, Stewart has to be All-Australian, from what I've seen. I mean, he's been in unbelievable form. Blitzhouse going back there has been terrific as well. But the way their 18-man defence is being constructed is quite creative, because you've got three midfielders, with all due respect to them, that aren't super accountable. The Sydney midfield is very accountable, so just comparing a couple of different defensive structures. Mm-hmm. Really, it is once teams get through, you know, whether win a stoppage or whether it's getting out of their forward line, they just really quickly get to the point of contact. You know, Ben Brown, they get there, two and three of them. So now it's a matter of opposition teams working around that and saying, well, no, hang on, we're going to make them accountable. They're going to have to lower their eyes, hit little short targets going into 50, because they're very, very well organised behind the ball. They've done a terrific job.
Howie, I think Blitzarves, the man Roosie just mentioned, kept Ben Brown scoreless for only the second time this season. For a guy who we all thought, Mark Blitzarves, where's his best position? You know, is he really up to AFL standard? You know, how important is this guy? Because he was thereabouts in the midfield, thereabouts in the ruck. Geez, he's been good at centre-half.
Yeah, to be fair to Brown, though, very rarely did the ball go in there when a one-on-one contest.
Yep.
You know, I think that's the structure duck behind the ball that they've really created. What they've done really well is we're not going to let Ben Brown beat us. Smart. Really, really smart. Now, if there's some ground balls and, you know, Turner picks, kicks four or something like that, that's the way you're going to beat Geelong, but it's very hard to do that.
Yeah, Blixarves was just too athletic, too quick, led him to the footy. The times that it did come in, Blixarves was able to start behind Brown and end up in front of him. And then when the ball even remotely went near the ground or you know, out in front of Brown, Blixarves just would go straight past him. He played a... I gave him a vote yesterday. Mm.
You know how I like to be very positive, and everyone talks about Mark Blixarves, and he comes from an athletic background, and what a wonderful job he's done, et cetera, et cetera. There's one real negative, as far as I'm concerned, with Mark Blixarves.
Yeah.
Nah.
What?
Rides a boogie board. I kid you not. One of the more athletic men I've ever seen.
Shark Biscuit. That,
Shark Biscuit.
Shark Biscuit, yeah. I was a surf mat man.
Yeah.
Down at Wilson's Prom.
That disappoints me as Mel Ruse.
Yeah, I know. I can see where you're coming from.
I saw the Geelong boys.
And then I graduated to a knee board.
Yeah, it's still,
I've got a mal over in Hawaii.
I saw Jackson Thurlow down at 13th and he rolled out of his car and Cam Guthrie and they got their nice boards out and I thought, well, my man Blixarves, he's a very fit, athletic man. Is he going to be on a long board? Is he going to be on a little 6 foot thruster, pulls out like a 9-year-old's boogie board. One of the more disappointing, embarrassing things I've ever seen.
Boarder.
Well, you done?
And you know what? And you know what, Howie? If I was out in the surf and I saw you, I'd flip my way out there and I'd cut in on you.
Cut in,
drop it,
drop it.
And what would you do about it?
Drop it. I would laugh in your, I would kick sand in your face, ducky boy.
Allowed Louis Taylor in on the spoil, taps it to Christensen, hand pass Robinson from 50, he loads up and puts it through.
Heart and soul, Mitch Robinson is of the Brisbane Footy Club. He's been wonderful since he went up there after leaving the Blues. Real shame when you call in the game that he's not playing today. And for the Brisbane fans, he's got an issue with his foot. He joins us now. G'day, Mitch.
G'day, boys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to speak to you. You got a problem with the foot, great man.
Yeah, unfortunately, broke my middle toe last week, first quarter. Someone was changing direction on my foot and just clean snap. So unfortunate, but hopefully back in a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks, you reckon, and you'll be back in business?
Yeah, I think the old jab might be the way to go. It's 6 weeks fully rested, but I think 2 to 3 should be fine.
Mitch, give us a bit of an insight into Chris Fagan. Obviously, you know, we're all really encouraged by your performance, but I suppose there's frustration when you're only winning one game. But by all accounts, he's been fantastic. So give us a little bit of an insight into his personality and how he's responded to the season so far.
Yeah, he's been great for the club. The organisation did really well in finding a coach in Chris Fagan. He's got a teaching background, so the facts are we've got a pretty young group, and he talks to them very well, and he's got a great communication with the older boys too. So he's ticking a lot of boxes. Although it's been a frustrating year, and we haven't got the wins on the board, we've showed a lot of improvement. And from the start of the year, he's mentioned that we're looking to improve in areas, specifically tackling and contested footy, and obviously clearances, which get us in games, but we've just got to figure out a way to finish off and obviously start better in the first quarters.
Hey, Mitch, well done on... I just think well done on your career. You obviously left Carlton, went up there. You've won a best and fairest. I think you've done a fantastic job and love watching you play. I just love your aggression at the footy, at the man. I want to ask you about young Rayner. How's he been since he's been up at the club? Have you been impressed the way he goes about his footy?
Thanks, I really appreciate you saying that. But Rayner's been great. They've drafted him on the back of a really good under 18 carnival, and obviously his endurance wasn't great at the time, but he's really worked on his on those aspects of his game, and he's obviously come into the system and he's played every game so far and he's been doing really well. So he's a big boy, he's a contested footy bull, and once his endurance gets a bit better, he's playing more midfield, so looking forward to that. He actually takes a pretty good contested mark as well. I think he's third of the club for that, so we're looking forward to it, seeing him go better and better and stuff next year.
Hey, Duck, you know how I said I was at plankton level earlier on? I gave Mitch the greatest pump-up with he introduced him. Didn't say a word. You say one nice thing about him. Well, thank you very much. Good on you, Duck. Really appreciate it. We're speaking of Mitch Robinson, the superstar, as I introduced him from Brisbane. He's Jay Clark.
G'day, Mitch. Can you tell us about the impact Luke Hodges had on your football club and whether he is a man who has taken you aside? How much time do you spend with Luke Hodge on either your footy craft or big picture life stuff?
Yeah, he's been heavily talked about. Obviously, him coming up here was a great signing for us. He's obviously got all the accolades under his belt, and he's been a captain of a premiership team for a number of years. So coming to the club, we knew that he was going to show some of that experience. And early on, he was just kind of figuring out the club and trying to understand where he sits with the leadership group and being a mentor for those boys. But now we can't really shut him up. He's talking a lot, and he's showing the way. He's taken a lot of... a lot of pressure off that back line. It's a pretty young back line, and they've been having to do a lot of the grunt work for the past couple of years, and he's really just steadied the ship back there. So he's been great for us, and he's been great for the leadership group, and I've been a mentor to them. And obviously with the Beam stuff happening recently, he's kind of filled that role a little bit there. So him and Clock have been doing great.
Hey, Mitch, footy's easier when you're playing in a good team. It's a lot harder when you've got a young, developing group of kids coming through. You're an experienced player with Brisbane now. What's the most challenging thing with the young group?
I think just keeping them motivated. Just keeping them motivated and trusting the process, I guess. I like that slogan. It's been good for us, trusting the process. We've been putting a lot of things into place, and we're trying to get the wins on the board. So, my son's just going crazy. he's about to run out with the boys, so I'm just keeping. Can you keep busy just for a couple of seconds? Yeah. So, it's been a good year. What I said, coming from Melbourne club, a big Melbourne club, so up here, it's a real tight knit group because we're mostly interstate blokes, and we're just trying to, keep that family attitude around the club, and everyone's pretty happy. But yeah, just trying to keep them motivated is the biggest thing. But they're coming to work and their day is off. They're actually trying to keep them out of here because they're so much trying to get better. So it's always positive.
Mitch, just before we let you go, you mentioned Dane Beams. What did it mean as a playing group for a player to come in like that in front of the group and lay himself bare, for want of a better term? One of the more courageous things I've seen in footy for a couple of years, I reckon.
Yeah, it was actually really touching. You see Dane Beams and you see his exterior. He's a mean-looking bloke with tattoos all over him, and for him to talk about his personal life and how he's struggling with day-to-day emotions was really confronting, I guess, for a lot of the boys. But hats off to him. It takes a lot of courage to do that and to sit down from a role that you only get really once in your lifetime type thing is really, positive for the club, because he's delegating a lot of that role to Dane Zorko, and he's fulfilled that really well. And I think it takes a bit of pressure off Dane Beansy as well. He's playing some great footy, kicked 5 goals last week. We've seen him back in his best form. So I think it's a bit of weight off his shoulders, and as well for the club too. So he's been really inspirational for all of us.
You're a good man, Mitch. Brisbane will miss you. We hope to see you out there soon. Thanks for having a chat with us on the Sunday
Thanks,
Rub.
Guys. Thanks for having me.
Really... Mitch Robinson from the Brisbane Lions.
Hey, Howie, talk about the Sunday Rub and how far-reaching it is. I've just got a text here. Jeff Fenwick, absolutely pumped that we mentioned him, and he is ringside with Horn right now. So
Job. Jeff, if you're listening.
That we got a mention, and he got a mention and said thank you very much, and just letting us know that he's ringside with Horn.
If he's listening and the Hornet holds the finger up and the fist up, if he could grab us an interview, it may be half. Time, Jeff. That'd be absolutely fantastic. A legend of Australian sport.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
Yes, we're going to have to fire through these quickly, Howard. Yep. You know boxing as well as anyone. Is Horn going to win this? Because he's up against it. He's the rank outsider. What chance do you give him?
Oh, this would be like, I reckon, Fenwick beating Azuma Nelson, or probably old mate Lionel Rose fighting Harada. I think it's that level. Duck, you study the sweet science. It'll be a massive upset for Jeff Horn to win this fight. But if he does, he's in about a $2.5 million prize money bracket.
Oh, boy.
If he wins this one, next fight's probably $10 million, Duck. He's enormous if he wins this.
Yeah, it is a big fight for him, but he's had his back to the wall the last couple as well. He's got through it.
He's one of those blokes, Roosie. Sometimes you see a player in the VFL and he's only just about. He gets picked in the AFL and he's just about in that level. Or a cricketer level, that does well at state level, then international level.
They just find a way.
Yeah, he's one of those blokes to find a way. Good luck to him.
Hey, fellas, in 2 weeks, Melbourne obviously play Collingwood tomorrow. Going to be an absolutely enormous game. We can't watch to see it. It's a blockbuster at the MCG. Then Melbourne has a bye. Then, Roosie, Melbourne play Port Adelaide in a massive game on the Friday night at Adelaide Oval. That will be Jack Watts versus his old team for the first time. Now, Wattsy's form has been okay. I'm a big Wattsy fan. I think he probably struggled the other night in a high-intensity, high-pressure game. But Melbourne used that pick 31, a guy called Bailey Fritch, who's played 10 games, kicked 10 goals, been a very reliable and consistent player. How does that trade look now? Because going back last year, the Melbourne Footy Club received a lot of emails, a lot of complaints, a lot of calls from Melbourne fans saying they weren't happy that Wattsy was gone. But on the balance of things, how does it look?
Well, I think as you get halfway through the next season, to be honest, most people forget about it, really. I mean, Wattsy's found a role there, and I think going to Port was the right thing. You know, even when we looked at him the other night, Dixon was a little bit down. Gray kicks a goal here and there. Wingard's been down, but he's played well the other night. So there's less pressure on Wattsy over there and the ability to play a role. When you're here as a number one draft pick, and it's not just Jack Watts, it's any number one draft pick, you know, even Boyd now going to the Bulldogs has sort of almost disassociated itself with that pick,
yeah,
and there's less pressure on him. And then Melbourne always were going to have enough talent in their team. So, look, in terms of where it's at, I think it's been good for Watsy, and Melbourne are playing good footy.
I actually reckon it's a win-win. I really like Fritch. I reckon he's going to be a star. I love the way he plays footy, and I love Jack Watts. And I think he did enough the other night.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
Robbie Gray was quiet as well. That's a great thing about Port the other night. I reckon a couple of their absolute guns weren't anywhere near their best. So and they still got a win against last year's Premier. So, no, I'm like I said, I think that's a win-win. That's a perfect win-win.
Next Sunday, massive game. Richmond will be covering it. I can't wait. It's Richmond versus Geelong Roosie. What chance do you give the Cats and what have they got to do to knock off the Tigers?
Yeah, I don't like the fact that Richmond lost because they generally bounce back pretty well. And Dusty's a big focus as well. You know, Dusty plays, obviously, they're a much better team. Richmond, they've had some down games away from home, which is not unusual for any team, but they've been almost unbeatable at MCG, haven't they? What is it, 14?
Going for 16 in a row.
16 in a row.
I think the all-time record for Melbourne in the 1950s is 17 in a row.
It's called the MCG.
That's just so hard to beat now.
Yeah, they're hard to beat, but it's going to be a good game. I think 3 weeks ago there was some question marks against Geelong. I mean, they had a softish kill against the Suns last week, but I like the way that Ablett got back into form last week and they carried it on last night. So,
it was good yesterday, Ablett.
Yeah, it was good again yesterday, Ablett. So I think they're building nicely as well. I think Scotty would be thinking, well, this is a really good test for us to see where we're at.
Credit where credit's due. I thought Ablett cooked last 2 weeks, proving me completely wrong, Schwatter.
Well, he's won the hard ball, Duck.
You know what he won? He won 15 contested possessions. I reckon in the first four games this year he wouldn't have even had 15. No. So he's back to winning the footy, bursting away and doing things that we know that he can do.
And nice coverage because Joel Selwood has a curtailed day yesterday with Sam Jacobs. Ben Jacobs. So without Ablett, puts a lot of pressure on Paddy Dangerfield. So Selwood has a quiet game and Ablett steps up.
And this is what happened too, that Jacobs went to Ablett, which then freed up Selwood. So it's a really good point. So now you've got another top liner that you have to decide, you know, and they can rotate and they can all kick goals as well.
I actually thought yesterday I would have sent Jacobs to Ablett at half time.
At half time.
And well, I did say at the start of the game, but considering they went and that was working for them, and I know you say don't, if you've got one thing working for you, don't change it. But Ablett was being that damaging, I would have made the change. I would have sent him to Ablett.
Yep. It's his contested ball that makes him so much more damaging as opposed 100%. To outside handball receives.
The first four rounds, Swatter, he was not wanting to go anywhere near a contested ball, but he's back to, well, he's back to somewhere near his best.
Fight started in Vegas. Big boos for Jeff Horn as he started to land a couple of blows early, and Crawford has obviously got the crowd support over there. Jay-Z, before we let you go, Gold Coast copped an absolute hiding in front of 7,000 people against the Giants yesterday.
We spoke about this last week, didn't we? And the stories have gone up a level since then because Gold Coast last night, Roosie, failed to take a mark inside 50. I think that's the first time that's happened in AFL history. They kicked 4 goals, 2, 26.
For the game.
Yes, lost by 108 points to a GWS side, which were down 3 men to injury. So we spoke about St Kilda being on its knees. This Gold Coast Football Club is being facing a mighty challenge because you watched Tom Lynch last night, and we think that he's certainly coming to Melbourne next year. He looks like a guy, Roosie, who doesn't really know what he's doing at the moment. I mean, the comment is that he's not invested. He certainly struggled last night.
Yeah, he certainly did. I mean, look, with what we know with AFL footy now, if you talk about the best teams in the competition, your midfield has never been more important.
Mm-hmm.
In order to create scores, your midfield needs to be able to run. In order to stop scores, your midfield needs to be able to run and spread. There's just no midfield depth, unfortunately, in there for Stewie Jude. If you look at the guys that have left that footy club, Prestia, Caddy, Ablett, Bunnell, O'Meara, you know, all those midfield-type players, they're just bereft. And so when it falls down, it can be a train wreck. And having, you know, coached at Melbourne, you know, when I took over, it's such an integral part of your game. You have to get your midfield right. You can cover some cracks down back and forward, but if you've got a limited depth in your midfield, it just exposes you all over the ground. I think that's the biggest challenge for Stewie Jew, is to, you know, I saw their second team play last week, Barlow's still their best player. You know, do you play him, don't you play him? Gets back to that debate we had before. Lyons is in the second, who's not a great runner, not a great spreader. He doesn't really help you. Your midfield, it's just going to be a juggling act for them for the rest of the season.
But I go back to what you did when you got to Melbourne, when you got Cross from the Bulldogs to show, I mean, Barlow's almost that player for
them. I don't know. Yeah, it's a good point, Duck. Really good point. I don't know. I know Daniel Cross is an elite runner, and that's the very reason we got him. So he's a good tagger, good run with player. I'm not sure whether Barlow's got the athletic tools of Cross, but you're absolutely right. Yeah. It was a really key signing for us as a footy club to set the standards for our young players.
You answered the question.
For just $9.95, share 24 Chicken McNuggets now with spicy buffalo sauce. Word out of Las Vegas after the first round. The experts have got Crawford 10, Horn 9. So they've given it to Crawford first round. All right, Jay-Z, well done to you.
So that could be the opposite.
Yeah. It could be. Well, let's hope so.
That's boxing.
We'll see you next Sunday. Geelong Rich versus Rich from the MCG. Can't wait.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.